All right, brothers and sisters, if we'd open up our Bibles, we're going into the third epistle of John, and God willing, we'll close up this study on these sweet letters of John. I pray it's encouraged your heart. And last week, we rejoiced as we got into that third letter with the Apostle John. And I'm hopeful that as you read the Word of God, not just reading your name there, I was believing, you know, in spirit, Lord, that you take me to, that it's alive and real to me, that, you know, these words are for me, salutation, even though this was Gaius, this sweet brother, this rejoicer, as we were so thankful that's what his name means, that the Lord would put that testimony upon our hearts to truly yearn to be as a Gaius, that Brother John would be writing this letter by the Holy Spirit to us at this time, that we would be having this type of a testimony as Gaius did in a pretty wicked world back then. There were a lot of things going forth. There was a lot of things breaking loose. Rome was, bringing down its iron fist at that time. They were trying to control pretty much about everything. Christians were being persecuted, and it was just about ready to break forth and get real, real nasty. And there were lots of things going on. Well, brothers and sisters, we're in a similar time. It's a different time, similar time, but most importantly, the day of the Lord's about ready to happen. And I'm so thankful that it's about ready to begin. And if we're in tune, loving His appearing, we're going to be with Him at the very beginning moment of that day, face to face. So I'm looking forward to that time by His grace. But we rejoiced last week in Brother John saluting Gaius and telling how thankful he was for the testimony of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in this brother. And I really do believe that it was present in Gaius. We were thankful that he walked in the truth, that the truth was in this brother. It was magnified. He was a vessel that poured forth the love of God to all. This was a love that wasn't hypocritical. This was the love that was the real deal. It wasn't play acting. It just came forth. And so importantly, when we left off, this brother supported the truth. And he supported the truth in any way that God desired to use him. See, he did not try or tell God, even though we think we can do this, but we don't do it. He doesn't listen to it this way anyways. But many times I've tried to tell the Lord on my own terms how I'm going to serve the Lord, how I'm going to do it. Now, Lord, it needs to be this way if I'm really going to be able to amply pour forth your word. Well, thanks be to God that he took care of that long time ago. And I come here before you truly by his grace and asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, you know, you just can pour it forth. It's what you want. We study, and I always appreciated Brother Hill. I remember a couple pastors he was talking to one time, and they were in there reading and studying and, you know, kind of almost sweating, panic or something like that. And he came out and he said to him, he said, what you doing? And he said, well, we're studying for the, you know, the message. And he said, well, that needed to happen a long time ago. He said, right now you need to be on your knees asking the Holy Spirit what you're going to say right now. So I just thought that was so precious that it's time to pray. It's time to just get in tune with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to pour forth what He wants. But this brother, I did believe the Lord wanted me to emphasize again, he submitted to thy will be done. And in that submitting to thy will be done, he had such a magnificent testimony. It was just awesome. It was written of, a special letter was given out, and it wasn't to magnify the brother, it was to magnify Christ in him, the hope of glory. And I'm hoping that we're continuing to take this and to allow it to be built layer upon layer in our lives, that this would build us up, because this is the glory of God that he wants alive in our lives at this time. But tonight, as we finish up this study, we're going to see quickly here that John, in verses 9 through 11, he turns to a warning. And he's warning the church to not be led away with the evil doing of Diotrephes. And in verses 9 and 10, we'll pick it up there. And this is the third epistle of John, verses 9 and 10. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that would, and cast them out of the church. Well, this is quite a guy. I tell you what, you talk about ruling it with an iron fist. This Diotrephes, just to begin with, his name means lover of preeminence. I'll put it this way. He had the love of being first. He had the love of being first. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's deadly. The love of being first in this life is deadly. It's opposite of what God is looking for. The Lord told us in His Word, the last shall be first. He's looking for that meek and lowly, those that are despised by the grace of God. It's not many wise, not many mighty. And I'm so grateful to Him that He's doing that in our lives as He continues to build Himself in us. But I'm telling you that the loving of being first is absolutely destructive to any life. And we've seen it even in the natural, but it's especially destructive in a life of a Christian, brothers and sisters. And we see that in the Christian church today, as back then, there exists these two types that we see in this wonderful third epistle of John. Gaius represents the selfless servant of God. And that's something we should want to be, that God can work in us by His grace to truly be selfless. We need to think upon our brother and sister in Christ first. And I believe that as the Lord has continued to mold my life, I am so thankful and grateful to God that you truly do experience far more joy when you get your eyes off of yourself. I promise you, you really do. There's a joy in being so thankful that the Lord gives you compassion and passion, not just compassion, but a passion for souls. And it is a precious thing. And I'm so excited of the transformation that's happening in you. And I'm so thankful for the transformation that's happening in my life. I look at myself, sometimes it's the out-of-body experience, and I just shake my head and I say, that's the man I could never be. That's exciting. I know that's not me. I know I couldn't do that. But with Him, all things are possible. And I'm so grateful to God what He is doing. But then you have, on the other hand, this Diotrephes. And he's the selfish, the self-serving, and the servant of no one but himself. You know people like that? Well, pray for them. Really pray for them. Because they need an encouragement to get out of that. You may have heard this before, but I had heard it a long time back and read it here recently. Self is always the sin that is spelled with a capital I. Did you hear that? Self is the sin that is always spelled with a capital I. And I remember, I can't remember who told me that, but it's true. It's the sin that life is all about me. It's the sin about my wants and about my desires. It's the one that stands up and says, well, it's about what I know. It's about what I feel. And I'm going to tell you something. That kind of an attitude is completely opposite to God's will. Self-willed saints are on a path of destruction. They are. And I've seen many a sweet Christians that God duped into their own self-will. And their own way that they thought they had to go. And I'm telling you, they tried to stamp God's will all over it. But it had nothing to do with it because it didn't align itself with the Word of God. I don't care how much that desire burned in your heart. I don't care what you saw in the sky. And I always remember Brother Hill saying that many times. Oh, I saw GP in the sky, Brother Hill. I know that means for me to go preach. Brother Hill said, boy, I'll tell you what, you better look up there again, son. It said, go pray. And that's the truth. Now, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Again, I ask myself, and ask you to ask yourself, what is it all about? Is it about you, or is it about Christ in me, the hope of glory? I want to win Him. I mean, I'm seeing that this is real. By the grace of God, the Holy Spirit is bringing this as the greatest of reality, the only thing that means anything. I want to win Jesus. And I understand in winning Him, all of that self and all of those things that I thought needed to be, need to be done away with. And it needs to be, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And I'm telling you, I'm experiencing a peace like I've never experienced before. Satisfaction like I've never experienced before. And just a rest. And truly, as Hebrews tells us, we can enter into the very rest of God Himself. As He rested in His Son, we rest in His Son. I like that. I think what God's doing is A-OK with me. Praise be to God. I'll stop there. But the Scripture tells us, brothers and sisters, very clearly, that the only way that Christ can increase in our lives is we must decrease. We must decrease. We must be removed from the picture. Getting ourselves out of the way. I think that really has been the greatest battle, at least in my life, and I think in most lives, is getting myself out of the way. We can try to blame why we're not going on with God on a lot of different things. Whether it's another person, finance, my family, the hurt that I had, the upbringing that I had. We're without excuse. We are without excuse. I'm so thankful to God of the message we had on Sunday. I know I am wonderfully, I am fearfully made, and He before ordained those good works that I should walk therein. He planned it out. He planned it out for you. You had to go through those things and in that way to get you to this place that you are tonight. And I'm so grateful to God for that. If it was any other way, I would not be here. If it was any other way, you wouldn't be here either. You have to settle down in that. I've been so rejoicing about the camels, I don't know why I can't get them off my mind and my heart. But I was so grateful to God that the Holy Spirit, He brought me a camel. And I can request all the different ones that I want, but nope, He brought me that one. And that's the one I got to ride. And praise be to God. By His grace, I'm going to ride that camel. I'm going to ride that camel. And we can talk a lot about that, and we're going to maybe talk about that Sunday. He hadn't really told me exactly what we're going to talk about. But if He tarry, that's been on my heart. And I'm just so grateful to Him. But that is such a truth, brothers and sisters, is He is the one that leads. I got to get out of the way, and He will do it. But see, we're living in a time of the me generation. That's hurting us. It hurts us greatly. We're living in a time of where they tell us to act up, to act out, and to speak out. And I'm going to tell you something. The world's thoughts and the ways of the world will always lead us away from the truth. I don't care how great, how wonderful, how sweet it appears. The world's way is the opposite from God's way. It will lead you away from the truth. And probably the greatest indicator we really ever have, in lots of ways, is whatever the world is following after. And I'm talking about ideas or thoughts or people. I'm going to tell you a good indicator is that's not the way that God would have. And it's going more and more quickly that way. So we need to understand that and not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. You know, he can wrap up sin real pretty and make it feel real good and it smells real good and all of these things. But I'm going to tell you something. You get around it and you're going to stink. You're going to stink. You're going to smell just like the environment or the path that you're leading. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, let's follow Him. So, simply self shuts God out. You need to know that. Self will shut God out of our lives. Lovers of pleasure is really lovers of self more than lovers of God. And it is rampant even in the church today. Instead of boasting in the gospel, I don't hear that very often in churches anymore. When I sit down and usually talk with pastors, and I'm so thankful for however Christ is preached, I want you to know this. But the emphasis is not boasting in the gospel, not boasting in my Jesus, not being thankful and not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's not that anymore. What the boast is how many members I've got in my church, or how many books my pastor has written, or the size of my sanctuary. I've even heard, well, the size of the bookstore and the coffee bar in the church. It's exciting. That's where we've come. We've merchandised it. And that's what God even told us to beware. Merchandising the truth. Oh my goodness. They've replaced the Word of God. And think of even what we're reading here. What self started. What this Diotrephes did because of self. He forbid the fellowship with the Apostle John. Now, I want us to maybe think about this a little bit. The Apostle John, one of the 12. All right? As we read earlier, he beheld and handled the Word of life. This was the disciple whom Christ loved. I'd want to talk to him. I don't know about you. I'd want to say, John, what did his face feel like? What did it feel like, John, getting your arms around him? And yet this man was so caught up in himself that he denied the fellowship with a vessel that the Holy Spirit anointed to write the Word of God. Fathom that. Think about that. Unbelievable. But yet about 50 years earlier, they crucified the I Am. Okay. They have eyes and they see not, and they have ears and they hear not. They're just going to go that way. See, that's what sin can do. And that's what sin does. But I tell you, I've seen these same things today, and I believe you have too. I've seen it towards those that love the truth. And it's a sad thing. Brothers and sisters, we're supposed to seek the unity that's in the Spirit. The unity. Too many divisions. But we do stand and withstand, and having done all to stand, we stand in the truth by the grace of God. But it says here that John remembers his deeds. So I'm seeing here this has been extremely hurtful to him. And it wasn't necessarily to him personally, but he was hurting because of the saints. Prating here means malicious words, false accusations. And it went further than just John here, didn't it? It was any of the brethren that preached the word or loved John, they were excommunicated as well too. But it didn't stop there as well. If any in this guy's meeting was receiving any of these ones, he wouldn't allow them to receive them. But even if they did, he would throw them out of the church. Yes, he did. Vain in our own imaginations. Vain in our own imaginations. Thinking we're something when we're nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. That's what the enemy will do to you very quickly once you step out of the will and the word of God. And it happens very quickly, brothers and sisters. His mind better be in us. And we had better see with his eyes. The sin of self will take you down very quickly. But brothers and sisters, one thing always to go back to, remember the chain of command. You know, you got to remember the chain of command. I hear about that all the time, you know, whether it's in the office or in the military and all these things. Well, there's one chain of command, and that's God. God first. And then that's it. You know, everybody tries to say, well, you know, it's God and family and God. That's it. Okay? When God is first, everything sets right. And it does. When we try to prioritize, no. It's the priority. And it's the Lord. And that's it. And that's what it is. It's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. And then everything fits. Everything sits right. I've seen dear Christians trying to organize their lives. Well, it's God and then family and then I'm a Sunday school teacher. Well, wait a second. I got to be this first. And no, brothers and sisters. See, that's going to promote confusion. It's Christ first. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, it all will sit right. And it does. And I'm so thankful to God. There is that simplicity in the gospel. It is Christ Jesus, and it is so, so wonderful. And I just thank him for that simplicity in his word. Let's go over to James chapter 4, and let's read verses 11 and 12. That's James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. It says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Let's read that again. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Here we go. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that thou judgest another? Who are thou that judgest another? I think that's pretty clear. I think I need to keep my mouth shut. I think I better get on my knees. I think by the grace of God, I need to leave this up to him and to pray. And Galatians 6:1 makes it very clear that when a brother is overtaken a fault, ye that are spiritual, you restore such a one. Let's go back over and read that together. I think we need to read that. That's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I'm not going to say here in this context, too, this is a little bit different. John wasn't in the wrong. This man, he was just out of sorts in sin. He's just being led of the devil. When we try to break up fellowship and communion and the gathering of the saints, we're wrong. We're very wrong. That's discord, brothers and sisters, and we don't want to go there. God help us. That's something he hates. But brothers and sisters, when there is an issue, we go in meekness. We consider the situation. We consider ourselves. But for the grace of God, there go I. Do you realize that? Do you understand that? Do you understand that I'm your body, you're part of my body, we're one in him? I don't know about you, but if I got a hurt toe, and it just got a scratch on it, but it's hurting like a dickens, I'm not going to just go cutting it off. You think? I know a sister back there that has lost a toe. And she'll tell you, you got to learn everything over again. Just a little toe. You got to learn how to walk again. And I mean it. You'd be on a crutch. I don't care how young you are. You think you can get it done. Let me tell you something. Without a toe, it's going to take a lot of time to get used to it. Okay, I got the scratch on the toe. Let me tell you something. I want to restore it. I want to take care of it. I want to nurture it. It's part of my body. And I need to care for that body by the grace of God. And that's what he's called us to. And he's given us those examples in the Word of God. And that's how we're to be attentive and to love one another. It's not to come with the hammer. That's not going to help. Brothers and sisters, we need to bring that cold cup of water, that healing balm in Gilead, and I'm going to tell you something, that will get it done, and it'll get it done in such a mighty and precious way. And may we always reverence the blood that is upon each and every one of God's children that made each of us his child. We see souls, but now I look at my Christian brother and sister in Christ, I see the blood of Jesus on you. I'm excited about that. I'm so thankful about that. Oh, he saved you too. We're clean. Just as if we'd never sinned. I'm thankful that you believe in Jesus. It thrills my heart. I'm glad you love him. We're family in that. And God has made us that way. And how precious that we can rejoice in Him. But I've seen in grace meetings, brothers and sisters, I have. Ones making themselves the preeminent keepers of faith. Well, didn't you know that? That brother so-and-so and sister this and that, they're walking the aisles and they're the preeminent keepers of faith. God help us. Now, I know that doesn't happen here. It best not. It best not. And I think God's dealing with us, brothers and sisters. We are His. You know, we're His workmanship. You know, He's the one that's doing it. I'm grateful to God for that. But I want to make sure that we understand that God help us. I've seen people claim to be prophets and prophetess, seers, judges of all, rules of accountability. I'm talking about places where people know of and have preached the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about faraway places, brothers and sisters. When it comes in quickly. And a little leaven leavens that whole lump. And soon that message is choked off. And there's not a stand for God's very best. That's why we stand in defense of what God has given us. Not in anger or I'm ready to take you down. But in absolute love. I cherish you. I cherish what God is working in us, brothers and sisters. I cherish the message that God, in His Word, Paul's gospel, that He has given to us. He wants everyone to have it. But I'm thankful to God that He's given us a place that cherishes that. To win Christ Jesus. To win Him. I cherish that. How about you? Amen? Amen. All right. So see, I don't want to require that one of you sin out there, you got to stand up and confess it to everybody. Uh-oh, where's he going? How about public denouncing other meetings? Brothers and sisters, we got to wake up. Wake up. Okay? Appreciate it. Even be more grateful. And I know you're grateful. And that's all God's grace. It's all God's grace. But tomorrow, really, on my heart, prayer for all of us, God, let us have more gratitude tomorrow. Let us be even more thankful people tomorrow. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. And then we'll grow up and wake up and Timothy, stir up that gift, and who knows, we'll be speaking truth and love and grow up into Him in all things. What do you think of that? Praise the Lord. And then it sums it up here, brothers and sisters, in verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. We've been hearing that through John, and here it comes in. And basically, it's don't be deceived. When they're preaching stuff like that, they're not preaching the Word of God. And I want you to understand that, brothers and sisters, this is God's house. This is His meeting. This is His ministry. And you are His sheep. You're His sheep. Amen. He leads us. By the grace of God, He's appointed me to be your pastor, but only to pastor under His leading. Only under His leading. By the grace of God, I am here to point you to one thing. And that's to point you to Jesus, not to point you to me, not you to point you to anybody else, but to point you to Jesus. You're His. Amen. And I'm glad you're His. And I'm glad you're His work. And I'm so grateful to God for that. And we're just here by His grace to edify, to preach the Word, to rejoice in the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But see, it's evil, what it says here, it's evil we manipulate people with malicious words. And we're in a time where people are manipulating a lot with malicious words. And as we mentioned earlier, this is a sower of discord in the brethren. And one way that we've heard many times, and it is true, how you conquer people, you divide them. You divide them, you'll conquer them. Yeah. You get them angry enough and get them into all these little different factions fighting against each other, you can conquer them. And that's exactly what we read there in Corinthians, where Paul came in and he said, man, let me tell you something. Let there be no divisions among you. Come on now. You're one in him. But when you start dividing the church, you're going to promote hatred among God's children. We're going to think that we're different somehow. Oh no, we're one in him. We're one in him. And we need to understand that there are not to be any divisions among us. We're to love on, and to love the truth. And as this word says, that's the doing good, and that's the evidence that we are of God. Now let's go on to verses 12 through 14. Demetrius has a good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. And that record is witnessed there, and it's so precious that John can be bold in the Lord, and he has the testimony. And I was thinking, how mighty that is to know that you know that it's true. I'm witnessing you the truth. And it wasn't John that was substantiating himself. It was because he stood on the promises of God. He preached the word of God. He wasn't preaching his thoughts or his mind or anything of that. He was preaching the word of God, whom he held, whom he touched, whom he knew, whom he heard, whom he rested upon his breast and heard the very heartbeat of. Praise God. He knew the love of God. So he could say, when we bear witness about the testimony that's in this brother, you know it's true. Because you know we are of God because we love the truth. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know if you are of God because you will love the truth. Amen? Amen. There we go. And we'll understand that. But it says, Demetrius has a good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. So here's the final reminder. Walk in the light. Brother Demetrius had a good report. And as we said earlier, the reason he had a good report is he loved the truth. The truth was in his life. The truth is light, brothers and sisters. And when we have that light in our lives, we shine. You can't cover that light. You can't cover the sun. Praise God, it just shines. And when we turn from the truth, that testimony becomes dark. It doesn't shine. I've seen that shine come off of people before. I've seen that shine come off of me before. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. I don't know about you, but I sure don't like stumbling around when we have a power outage at night. I get hurt. I'm always bumping into things. You shouldn't have taken that big of a step. Well, there should have been light here. But that's the way it is. Walk in the light. In him there's no darkness. None. That's why we can be bold. I feel real bold taking these steps. I can see. I see the steps right there. I'm going to be careful a little bit. But I'll get down those. See, I can do that. But I'll tell you what. You shut them lights off and I'll do a header into that thing right there. And that's the truth. Walk in the light. And in him there's no darkness. Isn't that wonderful? Man, none. Zip. We can see. And we see with the eyes of God. And it's clear. And it's bright. And it's right. And it's good. Because we know he's in it. That's... Well, I tell you, you talk about a peach. Praise God. Let's just keep feasting on it. But, brothers and sisters, many will say, about this text. And it's precious, however the thought of Christ comes into this, but it's an imitation, or to imitate this in our lives, as well as this, as was in this Demetrius or in this Gaius. But to be a reflection of the love and the glory of God. And to that I do say amen, but I hope we understand there is far more in the offering than just a mere reflection right now. We're living in a time, brothers and sisters, not to just be the reflection of a moon glory. We're being offered a sun glory. Not just to be enlightened, and that's a precious thing, but to truly be illuminated. To be a light. A lot of people start to get their hair standing up when you're talking like that. Well, let me tell you something. You better go in there and just rejoice in Revelation. Whether it says that, let me tell you something, honey. I'm going to make known to them that I have loved you. I'm going to make them come down here and bow down before you and worship. She's got a light. It's her light. It's the glory of God in her. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I can't fathom that. I don't understand that. But I believe it by the grace of God in faith that He said it and He wants me to live that. Yeah. Yeah. I could waste a lot of time and I could miss God's very best trying to comprehend everything right here. Because it's never going to happen. But I can receive it. I can receive it because I have a Holy Spirit that promised me that He'll take the things of Christ and He'll make them mine. And I just sit here and I say, oh Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to believe more and more. Increase in my life. Brothers and sisters, I'm really starting to understand that Christ in me is the hope of glory. That the only glory that's ever been or ever will be is His glory. It's His glory. But I am, by the grace of God, rejoicing that the hope of glory is His glory. And that's the same glory that's standing right next to His side in Revelation 21:23. Whew. Yeah. It's exciting what God can work in us. I want to bear record by the grace of God that the bride, the wife, hath made herself ready. Praise God. As we close this, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Just have a little ways to go. Appreciate your attention. In Hebrews chapter 6, 11 and 12, this talks a little bit more about the follower. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That's unwavering. It's interpreted, you just know that you know. Full assurance, praise God. That ye be not slothful, don't fade now, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. A follower, brothers and sisters, I was studying this, is more than an imitator. A follower obeys, worships, and honors God. Brother Paul said, be ye followers of me as I also am of Christ. Remember the hinds feet? Remember how many times we've heard the hinds feet? Praise God, the hinds feet. They put themselves in the exact same place as the front feet. They're exact. They follow exactly. They're in step. They're in tune. That's why they can go to the high places. That's why they can go to the valley of the shadow of death and still keep on walking. Dark down there. But there's one thing about those 4 feet. They see. And here comes that 4 foot up. And there comes that back foot right in there. Man, that's just getting to be so real. Every step in the exact same place. A follower is a companion. Ooh. My goodness. I don't make this up. This is just what the Word of God. Tell you, sometimes I knew the Greek, but you know what? I'm glad I have the Holy Spirit, because that's even beyond the Greek. Proceeding on the same course to win Him. The finishing with a full joy and a full reward. That's that course. To continue to pursue, to endeavor, to persevere. I just got to singing, if by any means I might attain to the out resurrection or the resurrection of the dead. It's a singleness of mind, brothers and sisters. It's a singleness of heart. It's a singleness of worship. And so finally I say in that, no wonder John wants to get with Gaius. No wonder I'm not going to pen and ink this stuff no more. It's just too good. We got to have the fellowship of dwelling together. Don't take this strange, but as the Word of God has told us, to dwell together is to settle down in marriage. It's got to be face-to-face time. What do you think? See, it's got to be face-to-face time. He needed to be with this brother face-to-face. And I should say these brethren, there were other ones with them, and that included, I'm sure, very dear brothers and sisters in the Lord. But there was a desire, just as the desire to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ face-to-face. Brothers and sisters, bridal saints covet the fellowship with bridal saints. That's it. It's inherent. It just is. You can tell me you're a bridal saint all you want, but if you have a chance to come and to fellowship with other bridal saints, and you do not have the bridal love. You just don't. And that's the Word of God. Because the ones that will gather the much the more as they see that day approaching love the fellowship of the saints. And all I can do is testify of my own life. I've always loved to come to church. I'm thankful. God's encouraged me to come to church. But then there came a day where I loved to see you. And I loved to see you. And I loved to see you. And then there came a day where I longed to see you. And I longed to see you. And I was thinking, well, Jesus, I just saw Him yesterday. How could I already long to see Him again? It's what happens. Don't know. But it just happens. Because that's the love of God. That's what He puts in our hearts. That's what He takes this word and He writes it and imprints it in our hearts. It becomes complete oneness in Him, brothers and sisters. The bridal love toward the head and the body. Meet a lot of people that's, oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. But they don't love His people. And let me tell you something, you can't love Him like you should unless you love His people. Can't. That you love one another. Divine. Divine. The agape. Oh my. Transformed from glory to glory, even into the very image of Him. I believe that that's what Brother John saw in this brother. Whether it was Paul when he was stuck with the Corinthians. He wanted to be with the Thessalonians. Because that was where the Church of Philadelphia was hanging out. I want to fellowship with them. I love the family of God. But the face-to-face, I want to see the ones that are going to enter in into marriage. Isn't that exciting? Isn't it kind of all fit together? You see that John, now I'm not saying that he's got his place. Don't get me wrong. I don't want people twisting things. But the Holy Spirit through this brother is expressing a bridal love. and the bridal love that was in Brother Paul, that he wanted to be with those that wanted to fellowship in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I just think it's marvelous. I'm so grateful that we have this. And finally, he says peace and the importance, brothers and sisters, to know one another. And that's not just a hi and how are you. It's not. We're family. We're the family of God. The blood covers us. We're the forever family of God. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ forever. Now, in that, by the grace of God, I hope I would want to gather with you. I hope that I'd want to not just say, hi, how are you? But how about a big hug and a holy kiss? Amen? All right. Well, I hope this has edified you, brothers and sisters. I leave that to the Lord. I know that He's the one that continues to grow it forth. I think that He's opened up a lot of things to us in this study. But I know if the Lord tarry, we didn't even scratch the surface. I'm just so grateful to God for who He is, how He loves us. If you tarry for next week, go ahead and read the book of Jude. It's real short. But I think the Lord's encouraged me maybe to tackle some of these smaller things that sometimes are overlooked. I think 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are somewhat overlooked a lot of times. It's gold mine. We're holding a gold mine. So let's stand and be dismissed.